This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hello, I'm Alistair Jackson. Thanks for downloading this edition of The Report, in which the former head of the British Army, Lord Bramall, gives his first broadcast interview after spending nearly a year under suspicion from Operation Midland, the Metropolitan Police's most controversial police inquiry. One of the most high-profile investigations into non-recent sexual abuse looks set to be wound up. Senior politicians, spies and celebrities were supposedly involved. And so too was the former head of the armed forces, 92-year-old Lord Bramall. Tonight he speaks publicly for the first time about the questions he faced.
I told the absurd business of the policeman saying, could I swim? Well, I said, yes, I can swim. And I saw his face light up. Light up. Ah, you can swim. You must be halfway to a sex pool party. I mean, you know.
It took nearly a year for the police to decide there wasn't enough evidence to even refer a file to prosecutors. I'm Alistair Jackson. A programme I produced last year for Panorama cast grave doubts on the credibility of some of the allegations being taken seriously by the police. I didn't look into Lord Bramall's case then, but what he's now told me has left me wondering whether detectives running one of Britain's most high-profile police investigations were just too credulous, or worse still, were just not up to the job.
Two police officers arrived. I was having breakfast. And they said, oh, we're police. I said, oh, how nice to see you. Come along in. They came into the drawing room here. And I said, what can I do for you? And they said, well, allegations have been made. And I said, really? Against whom? And they said, against you.
In military circles, Field Marshal Lord Edwin Bramall is a legendary figure, a man who fought on the Normandy beaches in 1944 and who rose to lead Britain's armed forces. He's now 92. But one early morning last March, his reputation was about to be put on the line.
They just came and said, we've got a warrant to search the house. Allegations had been made about me, and I said, what were they? And all they told me was that the allegation was that I had abused an underage male 40 years ago.
And how did the rest of that day unfold when they were here, the police officers?
They were all over the house. They were in the kitchen. They had special officers who dealt with paedophile cases, asking my daughter questions and so on. And my wife was seriously ill, but she was downstairs on a walker. And I had to move her from room to room, and she was kept on saying, what are they all doing here? And I, of course, couldn't really explain, because she had Alzheimer's.
What did they actually tell you about the details of the allegations you faced?
They didn't tell me anything. Nothing. That day they didn't tell me anything, except that an allegation would be, oh, and that it was part of a wider allegation. But they didn't precisely say what. I mean, they didn't, for instance, say, oh, this is part of a high-level ring. They just said it's part, there's an individual allegation. That's all they told me, absolutely all they told me.
Lord Bramall might not have known much about the allegations against him, but it didn't take some journalists long to work it out. Because although the police didn't name Lord Bramall publicly, they did put out a statement saying they'd searched an address in the village in Hampshire where he lives. And standing here in that quiet village, you can see why it was hard to keep his identity secret. It wouldn't have been difficult to spot the team of around 20 detectives that spent the day here searching his large detached home. And at one point, two of those detectives walked just a couple of hundred yards to the local pub where they had lunch. Lord Bramall was under investigation by Operation Midland, an inquiry that was examining some of the most serious allegations ever made to the Met. They included that three children had been murdered by a paedophile ring that had links to the establishment. Lord Bramall might not have known why he was in the frame, but a few journalists did. I was one of them. Rumours that senior military figures had been implicated by Operation Midland's star witness had been around for months. This man had been given the name Nick.
So, Nick, just tell me a bit more about the nature of the politicians who sexually abused you and other boys.
In 2014, An investigative website called Exero first reported some of Nick's account. They put part of an interview with him on its website.
Particularly nasty individuals. One was probably a lot worse than the other. One was a former cabinet minister. And the other was just an MP. But nasty. Liked to inflict pain, liked to see us in pain. On a regular basis.
Nick gained something of a profile and took his allegations to Labour's deputy leader, Tom Watson. He'd already called for the police to reinvestigate other claims that an establishment paedophile ring had links to Downing Street. But Nick took such claims to a new level. No other person claiming to have been a victim had been taken as seriously by the media. He went to the police and they took him seriously too.
Nick has been spoken to by experienced officers from the Child Abuse Command. He's been spoken to by officers from the Murder Command. They and I believe what Nick is saying is to be credible and to be true. And as such, with those allegations, we will investigate them. We will go where the evidence takes us without fear or favour.
I was in the news conference at Scotland Yard when the newly promoted Detective Superintendent Kenny MacDonald made that statement, and I was taken aback when I heard it. To say that allegations are being taken seriously and investigated without fear or favour is one thing. To say that allegations are true, when the investigation was barely underway, seemed a remarkably bold thing for a senior officer to do. And in the end, the police had to back down from that statement. Nobody knew if the police had evidence to back up Nick's claims, but the Met's judgment they were credible and true propelled them further into the spotlight. BBC News had also been dealing with Nick. The Met's announcement was the top item on that evening's television news. Nick's interview was voiced by an actor.
The claims come from Nick, not his real name. He's given a detailed account to the police and the BBC.
I've never experienced pain like it. I hope I never do again. But some of it was deliberate. They had no fear at all of being caught. It didn't even cross their mind.
I wasn't involved in the Daily News reporting of this story. I was working on a long-term investigation for Panorama, looking into whether other claims of a VIP paedophile ring could actually be believed. By the time Nick's story captured yet more headlines, I was concerned that some of these police inquiries were based on very little credible evidence. I spent the best part of a year trying to get to the truth. Towards the end, I discovered something that made me have serious doubts about parts of Nick's story and the thoroughness of the police investigation. Nick claimed the alleged paedophile ring had murdered three of the young men who'd been abused. He said one murder was that of a schoolmate who was deliberately run over by a car. He could remember only the boy's first name. We found five boys with that name in the relevant age group at Nick's old school. The Panorama team traced them. They'd all been alive when Nick left the school. Not all the people we spoke to had been interviewed by the police. As I've discovered in recent weeks, there's been similar oversights in Lord Bramall's case, and it turned out that even discovering what he'd been accused of hadn't been easy.
They told me that they would be interviewing me quite soon, and they kept on coming back, and they were talking about it in a week's time. The thing kept on getting put back because I was told that senior managers had to be fully briefed on my case. Well, I'd rather hoped that they'd been briefed on my case before the house had been searched. And then, of course, I had to get hold of a lawyer. One of the things I had to do.
Lord Bramall's solicitor, Drew Pettifer, tried to hurry the police along.
I contacted the police and I explained to them that the situation was intolerable for Lord Bramall. He was in the full glare of the media, being accused of some very serious offences. He desperately wanted the chance to defend himself. And more fundamentally, he desperately wanted to know what the allegations were and what he was being accused of.
And then we were pestering, we were getting on through my lawyer, when is this interview going to take place, you see? Well, probably next soon. And it went on like that.
So the interview kept being put back?
Yeah, two or three times.
News had got out that Lord Bramwell was suspected of abusing children, but it took nearly 2 months for a summary of Nick's allegations to be disclosed to Lord Bramwell's solicitor. Then he was finally interviewed under caution and heard detectives describe the horrific nature of what he was accused of by Nick.
That I had supervised the torture of boys, unspecified number, on unspecified date, in Imber Village.
Imber Village in Wiltshire is owned by the military. It's been used to train generations of soldiers. Lord Bramwell says detectives told him Nick accused him of first torturing children there in 1975. This was not very likely, as at the time Lord Bramwell was commanding British forces in Hong Kong.
They did say, did you never come back? Well, I... well, maybe I did come back for a week, but I mean, I didn't come back to torture boys in Imber Village. I mean,
and the allegations went, as you said, they went further, and they accused you of offending for many years. Is that right?
Well, over many years.
Yeah.
And it didn't end there. He was also accused of abusing children at a location already connected with VIP sex abuse allegations, Dolphin Square, the expensive apartment block close to Westminster.
And the same with the sex pool parties. And I told this absurd business of the policeman saying, could I swim? Well, I said, yes, I can swim. And I saw his face light up. Light up. Ah, you can swim. You must be halfway to a sex pool party.
During the interview, he was also told he faced allegations that some of the abuse took place on Remembrance Day.
I felt like saying, was I at the cenotaph in my frock coat when they said that I'd had oral sex and raped a boy on Remembrance Sunday? Well, I mean, hardly when the man is a field marshal, he's likely to choose Remembrance Sunday to have a sex party. I mean, you know.
It was also during this interview that Lord Bramwell heard detectives reveal a list of the names Nick had said made up the group he was accused of being part of. He told Operation Midland the Conservative politicians Harvey Proctor and Leon Britton were both involved, and that the group included a former Prime Minister.
Yes, I was asked if I knew Proctor. I said I didn't. I was asked if I knew Leon Britton, and I said I'd never actually spoken to him. Of course, I've seen him in the House of Lords. We've passed, but I've never actually had anything in particular to do with him. Ted Heath, yes, he was Prime Minister, and I had some official business with him, but I mean, I wasn't a friend of his or anything like that.
And another name was the late Labour MP, Greville Janner.
Did I know Janner? I said, yeah, well, I had contact with Janner, but I mean, I don't know him as a friend or anything like that.
And there was another celebrity name put to him.
They didn't actually ask me if I knew Jimmy Savile. They merely said that Jimmy Savile was at one of these things that I was supposed to have attended. And I said, well, I've never met Jimmy Savile in my life. They were crawling around for everything.
Nick had said he was first abused by Lord Bramwell after being led into his office. He said there were two possible army bases where the incident happened, in either 1975 or 1976. This is what supposedly happened.
A boy was brought in by somebody unspecified place, except Larkhill or Wilton. But I didn't have an office in Larkhill. So. And the boy came in, and I said, what a nice boy. I rumpled his hair and then put my hand in his trousers and touched his private parts.
To me, this sounded like another allegation that it might be possible to try to examine more closely, just like Nick's claim a child had been run down and murdered near a school.